It has taken us 12 chapters to get to this place in John's Gospel, which covers a span of approximately 3 years. 12 chapters. It will take us 5 more chapters to get through this last night of Jesus' life. In this Gospel, Jesus spends a great deal of time in these last hours trying to ensure the disciples understand his mission and purpose, and then in turn, what their mission and purpose will be once he is gone. Today's story takes place at a meal, though not a Passover meal like in the other Gospels. And then at some point during this meal, Jesus gets up from the table. He lays aside his garments and binds himself with a towel. So the towel presumably is now his only substantial covering. He pours water into a basin and begins to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them dry with the towel that's around him. In this very dramatically written episode, which only John records, the boundaries that establish status and power are reversed. All human images of protective barriers that provide security are removed. From being the most powerful man at the table to an almost naked servant, Jesus doesn't just speak in imagery, he becomes it. So in a few minutes, when I ask you to wash each other's feet, I keep losing you, right? You're just focusing on this bowl and the towel, and you're thinking, there is no way that I'm doing that. And really, for most of us, it's not the thought of washing someone else's feet that causes the most anxiety. It is having someone else wash our feet. Am I right? Yes? So I wonder if the disciples were having some of that same difficulty concentrating as well. How many of them were actually hearing Jesus' words? Or were they focused on their own anxieties and problems? Maybe too absorbed with their own fears or guilt or shame. So I wonder what it was like to be one of the disciples in that room on that night. To be Judas, full of anxiety, struggling with the demons tearing him apart. It seems that Jesus can see into his heart and knows that he will be disloyal to him this very night. And yet, he is still welcomed at the table, loved by the very one who should hate him if Jesus followed the rules of this world. And Jesus washes his feet. Or to be Peter, who thinks he knows what it means to follow Christ. Peter, who appears to be a strong leader, brave and confident on the outside, and on the inside as weak and afraid as any one of us. Peter, who we learn is not exactly the kind of captain who will go down with his ship, at least not yet. Peter, who will deny Jesus to save his own skin this very night. And Peter, who in spite of all these failings, is still the rock on whom Christ will build the church. And Jesus washes his feet. You can imagine the disciples' confusion as Jesus took that pitcher of water and he took the towel and wrapped it around his waist as he knelt on the floor and said, "Come, allow me to wash your feet." And while we can imagine the confusion, I'm not sure that we understand just how far out of the ordinary this was. A slave or a servant was expected to do the foot washing. If a host had no slave, then he would only provide the towel and the water. He would never wash the guests' feet himself. This job could have been done by a woman or a child or a non-Jewish slave. But no Jewish male, not even a slave, could be required by a Jewish master to do this for anyone. It is a job for the lowly. Now you can all relax because we're not going to wash each other's feet. The example that Jesus is showing us in the end for us has little to do with us washing each other's feet, but it's more about a posture. This teaching of Jesus is the same one that Paul points to when he writes to the Philippians, asking them to be imitators of Christ's humility. Paul wrote this: "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus is indifferent to his own importance and instead pays close and particular attention to the hurts and needs of others, overlooking himself to meet everyone else's needs. To wash someone's feet was an act of kindness and concern, but it was also an act of servitude and of great humility. I wonder, have you ever had that feeling? The one where you've given yourself completely to something, that you've emptied your tank in a way that fills you up more than you could have imagined? Has that ever happened to you? You've given so much, and in the end, you feel like you get more back. Or you give, and then you feel like you're the one who is blessed in the end. This is what Jesus was trying to show them. "I'm doing this as an example for you," he said, because he doesn't just do it, but then he explains it. "You also should do what I have done." Jesus wanted them to really get it. Because like us, they were at risk of missing the poignancy of the whole servant leader thing. They had all been chosen by Jesus. They'd never really had much status before then, just plain simple fishermen. And now with Jesus, they were something special. He had given meaning to their lives. He had lifted them up and transformed them into something they were not before. But Jesus did not, however, call them so that they would enjoy a greater status, to be better than those who were not his disciples. Jesus called them to serve by carrying on his ministry of loving all God's children after he was gone. So now he was preparing them for a time when he would no longer be with them, and they would be the ones left to do his ministry. They to be the ones looking into the eyes of sinners of all shapes and sizes, people who would suffer from their brokenness and who would also long for healing and wholeness. And Jesus wanted his disciples not to see themselves as better, but as the ones who could serve them and love them. Once Jesus departs, they will have plenty of opportunities to ask themselves, as Christ followers, what are we to do? And then they would remember the example of Jesus. And they would remember Jesus acting out the values of servanthood, of grace, and love. And so now, this is our place. This is our legacy to live. And our calling first is to receive that love of Christ into our lives, the way the disciples received Jesus' gift of washing their feet. I have served you, Jesus says. I have taken the role of servant because that is what love does. When my love lives in you, then you will in turn serve the world. And so then, filled up with love, our calling is to follow this example, to find our place in serving God's world, to be so filled up with love that it overflows from us into acts of kindness and generosity and service, blessing the world with God's grace. May it ever be so. Amen.